this morning and turn to the book of Philippians this morning. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here this morning, and thank the Lord that you saw fit to come this way, and pray the Lord will bless you today as we're together. I would ask you to pray for us, our family, as we're headed back out again in the month of May. We've got several meetings scheduled for the northern part of Virginia and also around the Yorktown area of Virginia, so we'll be doing a lot of traveling. Pray for these meetings upcoming. We've got several prison revivals on schedule for this coming month. There's one more this month. The next week I'll be working in Kershaw Correctional there for a revival. Pray for that meeting especially. Rock of Ages has not been in that prison in over 2 years. Every time we seem to get that prison scheduled to go in to be able to do the revival, something happens. It goes on lockdown and they won't allow us to come in. But right now, as far as I know, everything's scheduled for us to go in. We've got 2 days of visitation and then we'll have a service on Sunday morning. So pray especially next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for this meeting. These men have been on lockdown a long time. And so we've got a great opportunity to go in there and win some souls. I'd also ask you to pray for the Camille Graham Retreat coming up in May. That's a ladies' facility my wife is working in. That's a big meeting that they do down there. So pray for that one as well as we go into that prison and work in the month of May. And again, it is good to be with you this morning. Philippians this morning, chapter number 3. And I want to begin reading in verse number 10 this morning. The Bible says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Basically, he's saying, I have not arrived yet. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you this morning, none of us have arrived. We're all a work in progress. We're all growing in grace. We're all growing in the knowledge of the Lord. And none of us will ever reach the place of perfection. We are striving to reach that. And one day, when we get to heaven, we'll receive a glorified body and we will be perfected. But in this life, we will never reach perfection. He says, but I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity in thy house. Lord, thank you for the songs that have already been sung. Thank you for the Sunday school time. Thank you for the fellowship, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all you've already done in this place. Father, thank you for the congregation that is gathered as a body of believers to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that we serve a risen Savior. Father, that we're not looking at a dead God. We're not looking at a grave that has a body in it, but we look at an empty tomb, knowing that you have risen from the dead, Father. I pray now, Father, in Jesus' name, that you'd please empty me of myself. Lord, you'd forgive any sin, remove any fear to my mind, Lord, that you might use me for thy glory this morning. Father, I pray you'd give me good pace as I preach. Lord, I pray for my audience. May they listen with open ears and open hearts. And Lord, be receptive to the word of God. Bless now in the time of preaching, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say this morning that the desire of every believer should be to better know Christ, to better understand our great God and our Savior. In our text, the Apostle Paul said in verse number 10, that I may know Him. A lifetime spent getting to know Christ is a lifetime well spent. I think about Paul had a desire to know Him. He understood that he could dedicate his entire life to knowing Christ and he would not waste his life. Understand, people throughout time have dedicated a lifetime to a lesser goal or to lesser achievements. They've given themselves to all types of great works. And in the end, because of the way they've lived their life, they have not achieved anything. A life lived without the goal of better knowing Christ and better understanding Him is a life that is wasted. As I begin to study, I begin to think about great men who dedicated their lives to many things. a man by the name of Sir Edmund Hillary devoted himself to reaching the peak of Mount Everest. He gave his life, he gave his money, he gave his time to climbing that summit, and he eventually achieved that goal. But in light of eternity, what does that matter? Think about Columbus, how that he set his eyes westward to find the new world, and I'm thankful today that he did such a thing and he did not give up. But in the end, he lived a life wasted and achieved little or nothing. Over a lifetime, men have given themselves to conquer, to educate, to heal, to gain earthly wealth and earthly fame, and all of these great things. But a lifetime lived in such a way is a lifetime wasted. But a desire and a lifetime lived to better know Christ is a life well spent. Like Paul, the believer should desire to better know our Savior. I dare say this morning that if somebody says that they're saved and they know Christ, but they have no desire to know Christ better, I would question an individual's relationship with the Lord. They're either not come to that place where they've truly trusted Christ as Savior and been born again, or they've grown cold in their life and their relationship. And that desire in our lives as believers should burn bright on a daily basis to better know and understand Christ. I think about we can consider this morning all that Christ has done. And in considering all that Christ has done for us, it should drive us to better know Him. Consider His life this morning. Think about the fact all that Christ gave up to become a man. The Bible says He made Himself a little lower than the angels, a being in which He created to be a messenger and a servant for Him. The Lord Jesus lowered Himself to robe Himself in flesh and to enter time from eternity and take on the form of a man. I think about all that heaven offered Christ, all that He had, and everything that He had in eternity and everything that He had in heaven. Yet Christ said, I'm willing to give all of that up so that I might come to planet Earth and live my life as a man. I consider all of Christ's hardships. I considered all that He faced. Consider Christ lived a life where He did not even have a place to rest His head. He did not even have a home of His own. The Lord Jesus lived a life that was marred by hatred. The Lord Jesus lived a life where there were those that rejected Him. The Lord Jesus lived a life where He loved everyone. And He done everything He could to help others, yet there were those that were against Him. Consider His death this morning. He was numbered with the transgressors, is what the Bible says in Isaiah 53 and verse number 12. He was as led as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, Isaiah 53 verse 7. He was forsaken by his father as he hung on the cross and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I think about as a father and as a son, I could not imagine my father turning his back on me and walking away from me and not able to look upon me. I couldn't imagine looking at my children and turning away from them, but God had to because of the sin that was placed upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus in those moments. And he cried from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord Jesus faced the scourge of the cat of nine tails, how that he was beat and whipped beyond recognition. He was mocked, falsely accused, yet as he stood before Pilate, the Bible says he found no fault in this man. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. As they walked by, they wagged their heads and they mocked at him, saying, others he saved, but himself he cannot save. Think about all that he faced in his death, the rejection of men, forsaken by his friends, men that he had spent 3.5 years of his life teaching and learning, and Peter denied him and others fled away from him. I think about giving his life to a world full of sin, to a world that does not care most of all about the Lord Jesus and has no desire for Christ, yet he still died for that world. Think about taking himself and taking the entire sin upon his own shoulders. All this Christ did for us. I think about my life and the life that I live, and I know who I am and I know what I have done, and I think about all the sins that Christ has taken from me and placed on himself. What a great Savior we serve. But imagine the sins of the entire world. Imagine the wickedness in the world, and yet Christ said, I'll take that sin even though I'm not guilty of it, and I'll take it upon myself. Consider thirdly this morning the desire to know Christ and his resurrection. Day 3, rising from the grave. I'm thankful this morning that when we pray, we don't pray to a dead God. We don't pray to an idol. We don't pray to a dead prophet, but we pray to a Savior that is alive. I'm thankful this morning that He presented Himself to mankind. And I'm thankful that I was presented on a Wednesday night with a living Savior where I trusted Christ as my Savior. The Bible says in His resurrection He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1. He ascended into heaven. He's making intercession for us. He's being our advocate to the Father. He is our great high priest. I'm thankful this morning that when I go to the Heavenly Father, I can go through the Lord Jesus Christ and my petition is made known to God Almighty. I think about His great promise of coming again. I say, why would we not want to know such a Savior, such a loving and a caring God? If you'll notice as we look at the word know simply means to perceive with certainty, to understand clearly, to have a clear and certain perception of truth or fact. The term means to distinguish. In other words, we ought to have a desire to know Christ, to understand clearly who He is and what He has done on our behalf as those that are saved. I say this morning, if you hear under the hearing of my voice and you yet do not know Christ as your Savior, you ought to perceive clearly this morning that He has died for your sins and He has rose from the dead that you might have forgiveness of those sins, that you might have freedom from the bondage and the power of sin. Think about that word know also means to be no stranger. You know, I think about our world in which we live in. There's a lot of strangers out there. You may call me a stranger, man. He's an odd one. But anyway, but we live in a world where there's a lot of strangers. But to know Christ means that we are not strangers to Him and His power. How many today who call themselves Christian, who call themselves believer, who call themselves born again or saved, how many are strangers to Christ? Our relationship with the Lord is like two ships passing in the night. Without the sight or sound of the other one, we do not even know the other exists. I dare say this morning there are many believers whose relationship with the Lord, if we got down to it, we would say in honesty that we are a stranger to our Heavenly Father. That our relationship is not what it ought to be, and our relationship is not where it should be. And because of that, we do not know the Lord as we ought to know the Lord. Paul goes on to say in our text, he says here that he might know Him and what? The power of His resurrection. As we celebrate the resurrection this morning and the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, our desire ought not to be just to know Christ, but to know the power of His resurrection. Understand and consider this morning that there is power in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead gives us the ability to have help and to overcome situations. As New Testament believers, we must get beyond the cross and we must look at an empty tomb. I'm thankful, yes, that Jesus Christ did die on the cross of Calvary. Christ did shed His blood for all mankind. I'm thankful for that. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, He did not stay on that cross. The Bible says He was buried and 3 days later He rose from the grave. As one man put it, there is a tomb full of empty this morning. I'm thankful that I can go to a place and find an empty tomb, find a place where Christ, yes, was, but He is no longer there. Note this morning that Christ's death cancels the penalty of our sin. Because of the fact that Jesus Christ died, He took our penalty. Why? Because according to the Word of God, the wages of sin is death. Why do we die? We die because of sin. We die because we have sin in our lives. And I think about that. Wages of sin is death. That's talking about physical death. Understand this. Prior to sin, no one died. Adam and Eve had no concept of what death was because they lived in sinless perfection. I think about Adam and Eve. They witnessed death for the first time when God made them coats of skin to cover their nakedness. And in that moment, death came into the world, and Adam and Eve began to realize the penalty of sin was death. go a little further in the story of Adam and Eve and you get down to Cain and Abel, and they would feel the sting of death as Cain would strike his brother Abel, and death would be experienced that way. Later on, the Bible says that Adam would die and he would end his life, and Adam's life would be over and he would experience death. But understand this, those of us that are born again and know Christ as Savior, the penalty has been paid for because of the death of the Lord Jesus. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Because of the death of Christ, we are no longer condemned under the penalty of death. I'm thankful that when I die, when a person dies in Christ, they go to be with the Father. We will not face the penalty of death. We may die physically. Think about over in the book of Revelation, it talks about the second death when they're cast in the lake of fire. I'm not going to experience that second death. I'm thankful the penalty for my sins have been taken away. And by the way, I'm thankful that I will never face my sins again. Christ has forgiven my past sins, He's forgiven my present sins, and He's forgiven all my future sins. Why? There's therefore now no condemnation. I don't have to live under the penalty thinking that someday my sins are going to creep up on me. Someday I'm going to face my sins again. No, I'm going to be judged for my deeds. What I do with the gospel, what I've done with the light given me, but I will not be judged for my sins. Why? Because Christ has taken that penalty upon Himself. Christ's resurrection, however, cancels the power of sin. Sin no longer has to have dominion in my life because of the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins." That's a thought there. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Because of the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, I can have power over my sins. I no longer have to give into the temptation of the flesh. I no longer have to give into the sin that so easily besets me. But I can overcome sin because of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can go to Him and say, "Lord, help me overcome these things." We are missing out on things because we do not know. We do not better understand the Lord, and we are missing out on the power of His resurrection. As believing Christians, we stand apart. We stand above, if you will, from all other religions worldwide because our Savior, our Messiah, our God lives. Because Jesus is risen and we are able to believe on Him, we can know the power of His resurrection. I look at that little word, "and." It says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now, I'm not an English student. I'm not an English teacher. I barely passed English, you know. But I looked up that word and the best I can say, it's a conjunction or a conjoining word. Not only do we know Christ, but we can also know the power of His resurrection this morning. This morning, for the time that I have remaining, I'd like to give you four things concerning the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Number one, as I already said, we can know the power of the resurrection and we can have power over sin. And I dare say this morning that anyone in this room would stand up and say, "I did not sin this week." I would dare say that no one in this room would stand up and say, "I have not sinned in some way this morning." I guarantee every one of us had a bad thought. I guarantee every one of us had a wrong attitude. I guarantee you something entered our mind and in our heads this morning that we should not have dwelled on or thought about. And I think about this morning, as we've already said, Christ paid the penalty of sin. But through His resurrection, we can cancel out the power of sin. Because my sins have been taken away by Christ, because He has set at liberty my soul, sin can be conquered. Think about those that struggle with sin and understand we all struggle in some way with sin. We all give in to some sin in some way. But understand this, we do not have to if we are born again. Sin is a decision in which we choose to take upon ourselves. You say, "Well, I'm tempted." Temptation is not sin. It's when we act upon that temptation when it becomes sin. Whether it be drink, whether it be drug, whether it be whatever it may be in our life, if we are not careful, we give in to those temptations and we allow that sin to conquer us. I think about in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here, we die because of what? Because of sin. But Christ died and rose and conquered death. His resurrection has overcome the sting of death. For the believer to die because we are in Christ, we enter the presence of the Lord. Death no longer has a sting because sin has lost its power. Why are people so scared of dying? It's because they don't know where they're going to spend eternity. Why are men so scared of dying? Because some realize that they will spend eternity in hell because they are in their sins. But the day a man or a woman puts their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that penalty is removed, that condemnation is taken out of the way, and we can conquer and overcome that fear of death. Why? Because it no longer has a sting anymore. I think about, secondly, notice the strength of sin is the law, by which Christ's death and His resurrection, the law no longer condemns us. We are justified by faith, no longer condemned, but set free from sin and from the law. Understand, the law, the Word of God, condemns us. It shows us who we are. It shows us what we are. But thanks be to God, when we trust Christ, we can see not only who we were, but we can see who we are in the Lord and where we stand in the Lord this morning. Notice the victory that is given over the sin, the power to overcome. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Think about, you ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. My sins are gone this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, 22, for in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Because of the fact that Jesus Christ is the first fruits from the dead, He rose from the grave, we can have power over those sins, have victory over those things in our lives. You say, well, why don't I have victory over my sin? Because we choose not to. Because we choose to entertain those sins, because we choose to participate in those sins, because we choose to allow ourselves to give into those sins. But being born again and knowing Christ, we can have the victory over those sins. I'm reminded of a gentleman that told me one time he was struggling with some things in his life, and it was alcohol. And he said, I don't know why I'm tempted every time I walk by the bar to go in. And I thought to myself, it's because you're walking by the bar to go in, you know. There's ways that we can get away from our sin. The Bible says, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. People say, I struggle with this, I struggle with that. But yet we gaze upon it, we think about it, we consider it. Eventually that temptation overwhelms and we give into it. But we can have victory over sin because Christ is alive. I think about, secondly, this morning, not only the power over sin, but power in fellowship. Power in fellowship. It says there is no fellowship with a dead man or with a corpse. I don't know about you, but if you, I was to go down to the funeral home and I was to have a conversation with a corpse, hopefully they'd take me down to Columbia, South Carolina and put me in Columbia Care, because I'd be out of my skull and out of my mind. I wouldn't be thinking clearly. But I think about this morning, because of the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, I'm not having a conversation with a corpse. I think about all of those other false religions, the JWs, the Mormons, all of those different religions that are out there, they're having a conversation with a corpse. But the believer in Christ has a conversation with a risen, living Savior. Disciples, I think about, for 3 days sat there, distressed, concerned, not knowing what to do. But after that third day, fellowship was restored because Christ rose from the grave. John 21, verse 12, Jesus saith to them, come and dine. He was a Baptist. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. The desire for fellowship was there after the resurrection, and it was restored. And after those 3 days, they had fellowship again. Acts 1 and verse 3 says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For 40 days there was earthly fellowship with a risen Savior. Jesus wanted to dine with his disciples. He wanted to instruct them. To know the Savior lives will cause us to long for fellowship and communion with the Lord. I think about my own life when I get busy sometimes in my schedule. And I get busy with travel and I get busy with all the things going on in life. There are times when maybe I'm not as take the time as I should to be in my devotions. There are times that maybe I don't take the time I should to pray. And there'll be moments in my life where I become overwhelmed with the desire just to read the Word of God. Well, there'll be moments where I have a desire to pray. Why? Because there's a longing for fellowship. Thomas would say, "My Lord and my God," in John 20, verse 28, when he saw the risen Savior. Two men on the road to Emmaus, their hearts burned within them when Christ revealed himself in the breaking of bread in Luke chapter 24. To realize the Savior is alive, to know that daily we can have fellowship with the Almighty, will absolutely change our lives. To talk with the Savior that lives, to walk with Him, to abide with Him, the power comes in fellowship through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I say, thirdly this morning, the power of comfort. Because of Christ's resurrection, we have the comfort. We have the comforter. We have the Spirit of God. The believer is possessed with the Holy Spirit. John 14, 18 says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." He was speaking of the Holy Spirit. How the Spirit of God now comforts my heart, and it can comfort your heart because of a risen Savior. John 14, 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The indwelling Spirit of God has been sent to the believer to comfort our hearts. The sting of death is taken away. The dead sleep in Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm thankful this morning when somebody dies that knows Christ, we can take comfort in the fact that they're all right in heaven. I think about my grandfather. Me and my grandfather were close. He taught me a lot of things in my life. And I think about the day that I found out my grandfather died. And I remember carrying that casket and placing it in that mausoleum down there in China Grove. And I remember he had been dead a little while and I hadn't been to the grave. And I remember on my wedding day, I decided to maybe go down there. And I got out of my Camaro. I had a Camaro, a white one. Anyway, I got out of my Camaro and I started walking down that path to where he was buried. And I stopped about halfway. And I turned around and went and got my car and drove off. You say, "Why did you go down there?" Because I realized he wasn't in there. I realized that I could take comfort that he was with the Savior and there was no need. And if you do that, that's fine. But in my heart, there was no need to go see a corpse because my grandfather was alive in heaven and all right. I think about those that have recently died and amongst our believers here, how that they have a testimony of knowing Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, they're far better off than me and you could ever be this morning. Because of the fact that we serve a risen Savior. Take comfort in the fact that those who die in Christ are in His presence. They join the great host of heaven. They await the day to return with Christ in the clouds, to be joined again with their bodies and to receive their glorified bodies. When we die, our spirit and body separates. The body goes to the ground. The spirit goes to the Lord. But one day that body and spirit's coming together again and we're going to receive a glorified body. And you're talking about styling and profiling. That will happen one day. Take comfort that in this life is not the end for the believer. But like Abraham, we look for a far better and far greater comfort this morning. Think about this morning, the power of rapture is available because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we have a promise of a coming Savior. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits from them that slept." Understand, when Christ rose from the dead, He didn't rise in spirit. He rose in body. He doesn't have a spiritual body, ladies and gentlemen. Thomas, he said, "Stick your hands in my hands, or stick your fingers in the nail prints and in my side." Thomas saw a physical body. When the Lord ascended into heaven, it was a physical body. When He comes again, He's coming in a physical body. He was told, I think it was Mary, was told not to touch Him. Why? Because He hadn't yet ascended. He hadn't got that glorified position yet. But He has a glorified physical body this morning. And He's coming again. Think about, He told us He goes to prepare a place for us. And if He goes to prepare a place for us, He will come again. How could He prepare a place if He was still in the grave? He could not. Because He is alive this morning, there is a prepared place. I think about General MacArthur made the promise to return to the Philippines. Many said that they would return to certain things. But Christ will fulfill the great promise of coming again. So this morning, as we close the thought on the power of His resurrection, number one, let me say, the penalty has been paid. Christ has died. He offers forgiveness of sin. And He wants to remove your sin this morning. I cannot help but think that there may be somebody under the hearing of my voice, and you're still under the penalty of sin. That penalty, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. You will die physically one day. And if you die physically and you die in your sins, according to the Scriptures, you'll go to a place called hell. You'll burn in hell until your body is raised once again to stand in one final judgment. Somebody said, I want my day in court. Guess what? If you die without Christ, you'll get your day in court. The Bible says the books will be open, and unlike me, whose sins are gone and taken out of the way, you will face every one of your sins again. The Bible says you'll be judged out of those books. The Bible says you'll be cast into a place called the lake of fire. Understand this, hell and the lake of fire are two separate places if you study that out. Hell is just a holding cell. The lake of fire is your final institution, your final prison, your final resting place without Christ. The fact of the matter is, Christ has already paid for those sins, and He wants to remove those sins if you will put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus and humbly ask Him to forgive those sins. Then I think about, secondly, the power to conquer sins is available. He is alive. We are set at liberty. No longer slaves, but servants. Why in the world would a servant want to live like a slave? Why in the world would somebody who has been set free from the bondage of our sins want to return back to such bondage? Ladies and gentlemen, because of the fact that we serve a risen Savior, we can have liberty over those sins. And then as those come to the piano this morning, I say, thirdly, there's power in fellowship. There's comfort offered. The promise of the coming of Christ is offered to believer because we can know the power of His resurrection. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. In closing this morning, I simply ask the question, number one, do you know Him? Do you know Christ as your Savior? And then secondly this morning, do we really live in the power of His resurrection? Father, thank You for